The following sermon by Jonathan Edwards is called Man's Natural Blindness in the Things of Religion. It is taken from Psalm 94, verses 8 to 11. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises a heathen, shall not he correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knows the thoughts of man. Dear vanity. Section 1. Introductory Observations. In these words, the following particulars are to be observed. 1. A certain spiritual disease charged on some persons, namely, darkness and blindness of mind, appearing in their ignorance and folly. 2. The great degree of this disease, so as to render the subjects of it fools. You fools, when will you be wise? And so as to reduce them to a degree of brutishness. You brutish among the people, this ignorance and folly were to such a degree as to render men like beasts. 3. The obstinacy of this disease, expressed in that interrogation. When will you be wise? Their blindness and folly were not only very great, but deeply rooted and established, resisting all manner of cure. 4. Of what nature this blindness is, it is especially in things pertaining to God. They were strangely ignorant of his perfections, like beasts, and had foolish notions of him, as though he did not see nor know, and as though he would not execute justice by chastising and punishing wicked men. 5. The unreasonableness and sottishness of the notion they had of God, that he did not hear, did not observe the reproaches of him and his people, is shown by observing that he planted the ear. It is very unreasonable to suppose that he who gave power of perceiving words to others should not perceive them himself, and the sottishness of their being insensible of God's all-seeing eye, and particularly of his seeing their wicked actions, appears in that God is a being who formed the eye. He gave others a power of seeing. The sottishness of their apprehension of God is, though he did not know what they did, is argued from his being the fountain and original of all knowledge. The unreasonableness of their expecting to escape God's just chastisements and judgments for sin is set forth by his chastising even the heathen who did not sin against that light or against so great mercies as the wicked in Israel did, nor had ever made such a profession as they. 6. We may observe that this dreadful disease is ascribed to mankind in general. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. To their vanity. The psalmist had been setting forth the vanity and unreasonableness of the thoughts of some of the children of men, and immediately upon it he observes that this vanity and foolishness of thought is common and natural to mankind. From these particulars we may fairly deduce the following doctrinal observations: that there is an extreme and brutish blindness in things of religion, which naturally possesses the hearts of mankind. This doctrine is not to be understood as any reflection on the capacity of the human nature, for God has made man with a noble and excellent capacity. The blindness I speak of is not a merely negative ignorance, such as in trees and stones, to know nothing, to have no faculties of understanding and perception, in which they should be capable of any knowledge, and inferior animals, though they have sensitive perception, are not capable of any intellectual views. There is no fault to be found with man's natural faculties. God has given men faculties truly noble and excellent, well capable of true wisdom and divine knowledge. Nor is the blindness I speak of like the ignorance of a newborn infant, which arises from want of necessary opportunity to exert these faculties. The blindness that is in the heart of man, which is spoken of in the text and doctrine, is neither for want of faculties, nor opportunity to know, but from some positive cause. There is a principle in his heart, of such a blinding and besotting nature that it hinders the exercises of his faculties about the things of religion, exercises for which God has made him well capable, and for which he gives him abundant opportunity in order to make it appear. That such an extreme brutish blindness with respect to the things of religion does naturally possess the hearts of men, I shall show how this is manifest in all things that appear in men's open profession, and how it is manifest in all things that are found by inward experience, and are visible in men's practice. I would now show how it is manifest that there is a sottish and brutish blindness in the hearts of men, in the things of religion, by those things which appear in men's open profession. 1. It appears in the grossness of that ignorance, in those delusions which have appeared among mankind. Man has faculties given him in which he is well capable of inferring the being of the Creator from the creatures. The invisible things of God are very plainly and clearly to be seen by the things that are made. In the perfections of the divine being, his eternal power and Godhead are very manifest in the works of his hands, and yet grossly absurd notions concerning the Godhead have prevailed in the world. Instead of acknowledging and worshipping the true God, they have fallen off to the worship of idols. Instead of acknowledging the one and only true God, they have made a multitude of deities. Instead of worshipping a God who is an almighty, infinite, all-wise, and Holy Spirit, they have worshipped the hosts of heaven, the sun, moon, and stars, and the works of their own hands. Images of gold and silver, brass and iron, wood and stone, gods that can neither hear nor see nor walk, nor speak nor do, nor know anything, some in the shape of men, others in the shape of oxen and calves, some in the shapes of serpents, others of fishes, and so on. The sottishness of men in thus worshipping the lifeless images which they themselves have made is elegantly and forcibly represented by the prophet Isaiah, the smith with the tongs, both works in the coals, and fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it out with a line. He fits it with planes, and he marks it out with a compass, and makes it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He hews him down cedars, and takes the cypress and the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain nourishes it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take it and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it, and bakes bread. Yea, he makes a god, and worships it. He makes it a graven image, and falls down before it. He burns part of it in the fire, with part he eats flesh. He roasts roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself, and says, Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire, and the residue of it he makes a god. Even his graven image falls down before it, and worships it, and prays to it, and says, Deliver me, for you are my God. They have not known or understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand, and none considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I burn part of it in the fire. Yea, also I bake bread upon the coals of it. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue of it an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? Many of the images which a heathen worshipped were made in the most monstrous and terrible shapes they could devise, and the more hideous and frightful they appeared, the better they supposed it would serve their turn for gods. Some of their images were made so as to be the most unclean representations, images of men openly exposing their nakedness. These unclean images, they judged, appeared in a godlike manner, and worthy to be worshipped. Many, instead of worshipping a holy and good God, an infinitely perfect being, ascribed vices to many of the gods which they worshipped. One God they reckoned notorious for drunkenness, others notorious for uncleanness, To others they ascribe lying and stealing, to others cruelty, and yet looked upon them worthy to be worshipped as gods. Many worship devils, who appeal to them, and whom they themselves reckon to be evil spirits, but yet build temples and offered sacrifices to them, because they were afraid of them. Many worship beasts and birds and fishes, and the most hateful and loathsome animals were most worshipped. Particularly serpents were more commonly worshipped than any other beast. Many worshipped rivers and trees and mountains. They worship many diseases. There is scarcely anything of which men have not made gods, and so far as that principle of blindness prevailed. With respect to the things of religion, that it has in a great measure extinguished all light in the minds of many, even in matters of morality, and things that abut a distant relation to religion, so that many whole nations have professedly approved of many things directly contrary to the light of nature, and the most horrid vices and immoralities have been esteemed harmless, yea, counted virtues among them, such as revenge, cruelty, and incest. Many nations have openly allowed the practice of sodomy, and with some it has been accounted commendable to marry their nearest relations. Many have even worshipped their gods in their temples with acts of drunkenness and whoredom, and the most abominable lewdness. And the more filthy they were in their uncleanness, they thought their gods more pleased and delighted with it. Many nations have been so under the influence of mental blindness that they have been void of all civility, and have been reduced to a state very little above the beasts in their common customs and ordinary way of living, and in a great many things far below the beasts, being, if I may so speak, much more beastly than the beasts themselves. Now this has not been because these men with whom this has been the case have not had the same faculties that we have. That we are not as ignorant as they is not because we have better natural understandings, or that our minds are by nature more clear and our eyes more discerning, or that our hearts are not naturally so inclined to sottishness and delusion as theirs, but only because God has not left us so much to ourselves as he has them. He has given us more instruction to help us against our delusions. God has so ordered it in his providence that we should have his good word to instruct us, and has caused that we should grow up from our infancy under Christian instruction. Number 2, the extreme blindness and sottishness in things of religion, which is naturally in the hearts of men, appears not only in embracing and professing those errors that are very great, but also those that are so unnatural. They have not only embraced errors which are very contrary to truth, but very contrary to humanity, not only against the light of nature, but against the more innocent inclinations of nature. Such has been, and still is, the blindness of many nations in the world, that they embrace those errors which do not exclude all true virtue, all holy dispositions, but those that have swallowed up the more harmless inclinations of human nature. Thus they have embraced many gross delusions that are as contrary as possible to natural affection, such as offering up their own children in sacrifice to their idol, which has been a common thing in the heathen world. And the parents have not only offered them up to death, but they have brought them and offered them up to the most cruel and tormenting death, as to be burnt alive, to be broiled to death in burning brass, which is a way of offering up children to Moloch, the image of the idol being made of brass, in a horrid shape, was heated red hot, and the poor child was laid naked in this burning brass and so burnt to death. And the parents themselves brought the child to this offering, however sweet and pleasant a child might be. And thus the innocent child was tormented until it died, without any regard to its piteous cries. And it's been the manner of some nations to offer and sacrifice the fairest and best beloved child that they had. And thus many thousands of poor infants have been offered up. So strong has been the tendency of the hearts of men to delusion. that it is thus overcome those strong natural affections which men have to the fruits of their own bodies. And many of these delusions have been against men's natural love of their own ease, and aversion to pain. Many have worshipped their idols, and do so to this day with such rites as are most painful and tormenting, cutting, gashing, and mangling their own flesh. Thus they sottishly worship Baal of old, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it is still the custom in some nations grievously to torment themselves, to kindle fire, to scorch their own bodies in a most miserable manner, and to put themselves to various and long-continued torments to please their idols. And it is a manner in some countries for persons on certain occasions to kill themselves, yea, to put themselves to cruel deaths, to cast themselves into great fires, and there burn themselves to death. How powerful must be the delusions of the human mind, and how strong the tendency of the heart to carry them such a length, and so to overcome the tenderest feelings of human nature. 3. The extreme blindness of the mind of man will appear further if we consider how general gross ignorance and delusion has been. It has for the most part prevailed through the greater part of the world, for most of the time from Noah's flood to the coming of Christ. All nations except the children of Israel were overspread with gross, heathenish darkness, being given up to the most vain and ridiculous notions, and all manner of superstitious, barbarous, absurd, and unnatural practices. And for the greater part of the time since, most nations of the world have been covered with gross darkness. So it is at this day. Many nations are under popish darkness, and are in such gross delusions that they worship the Virgin Mary and a great multitude of dead men whom their church has canonized for saints, some real saints, and others abominably wicked men. So they worship the bread and the sacrament, and account it not only the real body of Christ, but real Christ in body and soul and divinity. They carry a wafer, a small piece of bread in procession, fall down before it, adore it, and account it Christ himself, both in his divine human nature, and yet believe that the body of Christ is in heaven, and in 10,000 different places on earth at the same time. They think they can do works of supererogation, that is, more good works than they are obliged to do, in which they bring God into debt to them. They whip themselves, and put themselves to other ridiculous penances and sufferings, in which they think they appease the anger of God for their sins. And they pay money to the priests to buy the pardon of their sins, yea, they buy indulgences for future crimes, or pardon for sins before they commit them. They think they defend themselves from evil spirits by sprinkling holy water. They pay money to buy the souls of their departed friends out of purgatory. They worship the relics of dead saints, such as pieces of their bones, or teeth, or hair, pieces of their garments, and the like, and innumerable other such foolish delusions as they are under. A great part of the nations of the world are Mahometans, many of the articles of whose belief are too childish and ridiculous to be publicly mentioned in a solemn assembly. But the greater part of the inhabitants of the world are to this day gross, barbarous heathens, who have not the knowledge of the true God, but worship idols and devils, with all manner of absurd and foolish rites and ceremonies, and are destitute of even common civility, multitudes of nations being like beasts in human shape. Now, this barbarous ignorance and gross delusion being of such great extent and continuance, shows that the cause is general, and that the defect is in the corrupted nature of mankind, man's natural blindness and proneness of his heart to delusion. 4. The sottish blindness and folly of the heart of men appears in their being so prone to fall into such gross delusions, soon after they have been favored with clear light. Were not the minds of men exceeding dark, they never would entertain such absurd notions at all, for they are as contrary as possible to reason, much less would they fall into them after they had once been instructed in the truth. For were it not very strange and great sottishness indeed, they would, when they come to be informed of the truth, and have opportunity to compare it with those gross errors, behold such a reasonableness in the truth, and such absurdity in those errors, that they would never be in danger of being deluded by them any more. But yet so it is, mankind, after they have been fully instructed, and have lived in clear light, have time after time presently lost the knowledge of the truth, and have exchanged it for the most barbarous and brutish notions. So it was early after the flood in which the wicked world, those that were visibly so, were destroyed, and none were left but those who professed a true religion, and they had such an eminently holy man as Noah to instruct them. And though the true God had so wonderfully and astonishingly manifested himself in that great work of vengeance against his enemies, yet the posterity of Noah in great part presently lost the knowledge of the true God, and fell away to idolatry, and that even while Noah was living, and the ancestors of Abraham were tainted with their idolatry. Even Terah, his own father, and Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood." It seems as though Abraham was called away from his father's house, and from his own country for this reason, that the country was overrun with idolatry. And even many of the posterity of Abraham and Isaac, Abraham's posterity by Hagar and Keturah, and that part of Isaac's posterity which were of Esau, though the true religion was so thoroughly taught and practiced in the houses of those holy patriarchs, and God had from time to time so wonderfully and miraculously manifested himself to them, yet so soon cast off the true God, and fell away to idolatry. For not very long after we read of the posterity of Jacob as being the only people of God that he had in all the earth. And so the people of that part of the land of Canaan, who were under that holy king Melchizedek, soon totally cast off the worship of the one only true God, which he taught and maintained. For before Joshua brought in the children of Israel, the inhabitants of that land were wholly given to idolatry. So the people of the land of Uz, who were under the government of so great and holy man as Job, soon lost the knowledge of the true God, and all those religious truths which were then known among them, and sunk into gross idolatry. So the posterity of Jacob themselves, though God had manifested himself to them, and had wrought such wonders for them, in the time of Jacob and Joseph, yet presently fell to worship the gods of Egypt, disappears from the words of Joshua. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And how soon did they fall to worship a golden calf in the wilderness, in the midst of the wonderful and miraculous manifestations of the one only true God, and notwithstanding idolatry was so strictly forbidden, and the folly and wickedness of it so clearly manifested in the law of Moses, and in God's providence, yet how soon did they fall into idolatry after they were brought into the land of Canaan, and when God raised up eminent men, judges, to instruct and govern them, and reclaim them from their idolatrous practices. From time to time, though they professed to be convinced of their foolish delusion, yet they would soon fall again into the most sottish idolatry. And this they did soon after such great light as they enjoyed in the time of Samuel, David, and Solomon. And so, from time to time down to the Babylonish captivity, and in the apostles' times when such great things were done to rouse the attention of mankind, and such great light was spread over many nations, multitudes, after they had been instructed in the Christian religion by the apostles and others, fell away into the grossest heresies, and embraced the most corrupt and absurd notions, after the Roman Empire had been converted from heathenism to Christianity, and the light of the gospel had driven out the sottish ignorance and gross absurdities of pagan idolatry in which it had continued so long, they soon began to fall away from the truth into anti-Christian superstition and idolatry, in which are opinions and practices no less absurd than those of the heathen, and a great part of the Christian world fell away to Mahometanism. And since the Reformation, in which God wonderfully restored gospel light in a great part of the Christian world, which was but about 200 years ago, many are fallen away again, some to popery, some to gross heresies, and some to atheistical principles, so that the Reformed Church is greatly diminished, and as to our nation in particular, which has been a nation favored with the light since the Reformation above most, if not any in the world, how soon has it a great part fallen away, a great part of it to atheism, deism and gross infidelity, and others to Arminianism, and to the Socinian and Arian heresies, to believe that Christ is a created, dependent God, and to hold other foolish absurdities. And many have of late openly disputed and denied the moral evil of some of the greatest and most heinous vices. These things show how desperately prone mankind are to blindness and delusion, how addicted they are to darkness. God now and then, by his instructions, lifts up some nations out of such gross darkness. But then, how do they sink down into it again? As soon as his hand is withdrawn, like a heavy stone, which, though it may be forced upward, yet sinks down again, and will continue to sink lower and lower with a swift progress, if there be nothing to restrain it. That is a woeful tendency of the mind of man since the fall, notwithstanding his noble powers and faculties, even to sink down in a kind of brutality, to lose and extinguish all useful light, and a sink lower and lower into darkness. Number 5. The extreme and brutish blindness that possesses the hearts of men naturally appears in their being so confident in gross errors and delusions. Some things mentioned already show how confident and assured they are, particularly their running such great ventures as offering up their children and cutting and mangling themselves. Multitudes live and die in the most foolish and absurd notions and principles, and never seem to make any doubt of their being in the right. The Mahometans seem to make no doubt but that, when they die, they shall go to such a paradise as Mahomet has promised them, where they shall live in all manner of sensual pleasures, and shall spend their time in gratifying the lusts of the flesh. Mahomet promised them that all who die in war for the defense of the Mahometan religion shall go to this paradise, and they make no doubt of it. Therefore, many of them, as it were, willingly rush on upon the point of the sword, the papists. Many of them, at least, make no doubt of the truth of those foolish notions of a purgatory and the power of the priests to deliver them out of it and give them eternal life, and therefore will not spare vast sums of money to purchase deliverance from those imaginary torments. How confident are many heretics in the grossest heresies, and how bold are many deists in their infidelity. Number 6. The desperateness of that blindness which is in the heart of man appears in that no nation or people in the world ever have had any remedy or deliverance from such gross ignorance and delusion from themselves. No instance can be mentioned of any people whatsoever who have once fallen into heathenish darkness or any other gross superstitions and ridiculous opinions in religion that ever had any remedy by any wisdom of their own, or that have of themselves grown wiser by the improvement of their own faculties and by instructing one another, or that ever had any remedy at all by the teaching of any wise men who did not professedly act as moved and directed of God, and did not declare that they had their instructions in the first place from him. Thus, in a heathen world, before Christ's time, the whole world except the Jews lay in their darkness for a great many hundred years, even beyond all time of which they had any certain history among them, and there was no remedy, nor any appearance of a remedy. They continued ages after ages, waxing worse and worse, sinking deeper and deeper. Among all the many nations in the world, no one ever bethought themselves and emerged out of their brutish darkness. They were indeed some nations that emerged out of slavery, cast off the yoke of their enemies, grew great, and conquered great parts of the world, but they never conquered the blindness of their own hearts. There were some nations who excelled in other knowledge as the Greeks and Romans. They excelled in policy, and in the form of their civil government. They had wise political rulers. They had excellent laws for regulating their civil state, many of which have been imitated as a pattern by many Christian nations ever since. They excelled many other nations in arts, government, and civility, almost as much as men and common do beasts. Yet they never could deliver themselves from their heathenism, though they were so wise in other things. Yet in matters of religion they were very absurd and brutish, for even the Greeks and Romans in their most flourishing state worshipped innumerable gods, and some to whom they ascribed great vices, and some they worshipped with most obscene and horrid rites, to some they offered human sacrifices. The Romans had a temple dedicated to the Furies, which they worshipped, and they had a multitude of childish notions and fables about their gods. And though they were raised up some wise men and philosophers among the Greeks and Romans, who borrowed some things concerning the true God from the Jews, yet their instructions never were effectual to deliver any one people, or even one city or town, from their barbarous heathenism, or so much as to get any one whole society or company of men to unite in the public worship of the true God. And these philosophers themselves had many grossly absurd opinions mingled with those scraps of truth which they had gathered up, and the Jews were falling away to idolatry, as they often did, never recovered of themselves. Never any remedy appeared unless God raised up and extraordinarily moved some person to reprove and instruct them. And in this age of knowledge, an age in which learning is carried to a great height, even many learned men seem to be carried away with the gross errors and fooleries of the popish religion. Europe is a part of the world the most famed for arts and sciences of any, and these things have been carried to a much greater height in this age than in many others. Yet many learned men in Europe at this day, who greatly excel in human arts and literature, are still under popish darkness. A deceived heart has turned them aside, nor do they seem to have any power to deliver their souls, nor does it come into their minds that there is a lie in their right hands. Many men in France and in other countries, who are indeed men of great learning, knowledge, and abilities, yet seem really to think that the Church of Rome is the only true Church of Christ, and are zealous to uphold and propagate it. Until now, within this 100 years, human learning has been very much promoted, and has risen to a greater height than ever in the world, and has greatly increased not only in our nation, but in France and Italy and other popish countries. Yet, there seems to be no such effect of it as any considerable turning from popish delusions, but the Church of Rome has rather increased of late than otherwise, and in England, the land in which learning flourishes as much as any in the world, and which is perhaps the most favored with light of any, there are many men of vast learning and great and strong reason who have embraced, and do at this day embrace, the gross errors of the Arians and Deists. Our nation and all of its light and learning is full of infidels, and those that are further from Christianity than the very Mohammedans themselves. Of so little avail is human strength or human reason and learning as a remedy against the extreme blindness of the human mind. The blindness of the mind, or an inclination to delusion in things of religion, is so strong that it will overcome the greatest learning, and the strongest natural reason. Men, if let alone, will not help one another, nor will they help themselves. The disease always proves without remedy, unless God delivers. This is observed of old, and none considers in his heart. Neither is there knowledge, nor understanding to say, I have burnt a part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals of it. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue of it an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? If God lets men alone, no light arises, but the darkness groweth thicker and thicker. How is it now at this very day among all the nations where the light of the gospel has not come, many of whose ancestors without doubt have been in the midnight darkness of heathenism for above 3,000 years, and not one people have delivered themselves, have not had the light of the gospel? This is not owing to their lack of as good natural abilities as we have, nor is it because they have an inclination more to neglect their natural abilities, or make a worse improvement of them than we. 7. The extreme blindness of man's heart in matters of religion appears by men falling into gross delusions, or continuing in them, at the same time that we have been under great means of instruction from God. We have many instances of this, as Rachel and Jacob's family, and the Israelites in the wilderness, and so on. These last had great means of instruction, yet they set up the golden calf, and after Joshua's time they persisted in their delusions and folly. From time to time, even under the reproofs of the prophets, and even in such horrid delusions so contrary to natural affection, is offering their children in sacrifice to Moloch, burning them alive, in a most cruel manner. In the time of Christ and the apostles, the Jews had great means of instruction, and most of the nations of the world were put under great advantages to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yet, what was the effect? It would be easy to pursue these remarks respecting the papists in the time of the Reformation, and since the Arians and Deists in our day, but what has been said may be quite sufficient, if the reader will but indulge reflection. The exceedingly great blindness of men and things of religion appears in the endless disputes and controversies that there have been, and are, among men, about all things which concern religion. Of old, the wise men and philosophers among the heathen were, so to speak, infinitely divided among themselves. Varro, who is one of them, reckons up several hundred opinions about that one point, wherein man's happiness consisted, and they were continually in disputes one with another. But the effect of their disputes was not any greater union, or any better agreement in their opinions. They were as much divided after they had disputed many ages as they were at first, yea, much more. So there have been long disputes in the Christian world about opinions and principles and religion. There is a vast variety of sects, and opinions and disputes have been carried on age after age, with great warmth, and thousands of volumes have been written one against another, and all these disputes have not terminated the differences, but they still subsist as much as ever, yea, they increase and multiply more and more. Instead of ending controversies by disputing, one dispute only lays a foundation for another, and thus the world goes on jangling and contending, daily writing and printing, being as it were deluged with controversial books, and all to no purpose. The increase of human learning does not bring these controversies to an issue, but does really increase and multiply them. There probably never was a time in our nation in which there was such a vast variety of opinions and manners of religion as at this day. Every now and then a new scheme of things is broached, and various and contrary opinions are mixed and jumbled, divided and subdivided, and every new writer is willing to have the credit of some new notion. And after this manner does this miserable world go on in endless confusion, like a great multitude of foolhardy persons. who go on in the dark, stumbling and jostling one against another, without perceiving any remedy for their own, or affording any for their neighbor's calamity. Thus I have shown how the extreme blindness that possesses the hearts of men is manifested in what appears in their profession. The next section of Jonathan Edwards' sermon deals with men's extreme blindness manifested by inward experience, and especially in their practices under the gospel. But that will be in another narration.